It is not your job to ensure that hospitalization rates in Sheridan County are low. Your job is to give my child the best education possible, and masks do inhibit a child's learning.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to a special news update from high above all other primitive forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. A special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Sheridan County School District No. 2 was held today at 12 p.m. in Sheridan, Wyoming. The topic of discussion, or so-called discussion, was, of course, whether or not there should be a mask mandate in Sheridan County School District No. 2. Unfortunately, though, members of the school board and the school superintendent had already made up their mind before any of the parents showed up at the meeting. Though you wouldn't know that by listening to what they said. Over and over during the meeting, it was said, "We are listening to you. We are listening to what you have to say. We do care about what you have to say." Yeah, I don't know about that last part, but it sounds like it would fit. The whole point, though, is that originally this meeting was scheduled for 8 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. You know how many parents have to work at 8 a.m. on a Monday? So they switched the time to 12 p.m. That way, parents could waste their lunch break at such a ridiculous meeting. Now, of course, the notice of this meeting didn't show up until probably Friday, and I didn't see it until the weekend, so parents had little to no notice of this school board meeting. Now, politicians do that so that they can reduce the amount of potential attendance at a particular meeting, thereby reducing the possibility of any potential controversy. But then again, when has lying to voters ever reduced controversy in any situation? Never. And it didn't work this time. The most disappointing part about this meeting is that the school board and the school superintendent had obviously already made up their mind. They had prepared statements defending their decision. So, yeah, it really didn't matter what any of the parents had to say at the meeting. So, the school board just let these very frustrated parents talk, already knowing that they were not going to listen to a word they had to say. Cowboy State Politics was at the meeting, and we recorded the whole thing up until the point at which they adjourned the meeting to clear the room because some of the parents got what they said was a little unruly. Honestly, in my opinion, it was just some very frustrated people asking some very frustrated questions. One other item of note that I found particularly curious. Included in the agenda packet for the meeting was an excerpt from the Wyoming Constitution, Article 1, Section 38. That's the Health Care Access Amendment. And I quote, "Each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions. The parent, guardian, or legal representative of any other natural person shall have the right to make health care decisions for that person. Section B, any person may pay, and a health care provider may accept direct payment for health care without imposition of penalties or fines for doing so. C, the legislature may determine reasonable and necessary restrictions on the rights granted under this section to protect the health and general welfare of the people or to accomplish the other purposes set forth in the Wyoming Constitution. And D, the state of Wyoming shall act to preserve these rights from undue governmental infringement." End quote. We can only surmise why this was included in the agenda packet, as it wasn't discussed during the meeting. My guess is it was a bit of a red herring to lead parents to believe that the school board was following the Wyoming Constitution. In any case, here's the whole meeting up until the point that it was adjourned and the room was cleared.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We will take audience comments this morning, this afternoon now. We will limit the comments to 3 minutes. We request that there are 6 comments per viewpoint, so if there are more than that, please figure out who you would like to speak to the issue. Please be respectful of other Jews. And when you're ready, please be recognized. Identify yourself. Step to the podium and identify yourself and who you represent. Anyone would you like to speak?
I would like to yield my time to come out here. Who is against that? Please come in now. Let it go.
Did she just yield speaking to
us? Yes.
Wow. Please identify yourself.
My name is Anna Bailey. I'm a resident of District 2 and a business owner. Thank you for allowing public input today. I have lived here for 12 years with my husband and kids. All 4 of them graduated from Sheridan High School, and I am greatly appreciative for the quality of education that they received. I have an interest in this issue because I care deeply about our community, and I now have grandchildren who may someday attend school here. Thank you. Both my husband and I had COVID in February this year. He has stage 4 cancer, and his case became extremely serious. Thanks to Nina Beach and the Welch Cancer Center, he was able to receive the monoclonal antibody treatment, which we credit for saving his life. I include this point so you know that I understand how very real COVID is, how terrifying when it turns severe, as well as how unpleasant long-term side effects can be. That said, we hold no one responsible for that illness. We ask no special favors of anyone to look out for us. We take into our own hands the inherent risks of everyday life. Each time we get into a car, walk across the street, or ride a bike. And while COVID is the shiny object that has our attention, a myriad of other risks are completely ignored. In a normal year such as 2018, children 5 to 14 years old were almost 10 times more likely to die from cancer and vehicle accidents, more than twice as likely to die from homicide, drowning, or cardiovascular disease, and were still also more likely to die from the seasonal flu. But the question is here today, are masks effective to stop the transmission among school-aged children? A little reported CDC study covering more than 90,000 elementary school students in Georgia schools found that the student masking requirement did not have a statistical impact on transmission. I brought a copy to leave with you. Quoting from the article by Elisa Schrechter-Perkins, the Director of Emergency Medicine and Infectious Disease Management at Boston Medical Center, she says a year ago, quote, "I said masks are not the end of the world. Why not just wear a mask?" But the world has changed. There are real downsides to masking children for this long with no known end date and without any clear upside. She continues, "I'm not aware of any studies that show conclusively that kids wearing masks in schools has any effect on their own morbidity or mortality or on hospitalization or death rate in the community around them." End quote. Muzzling our children for 35 hours a week, trapping bacteria and germs on their faces for hours on end, and repressing communication and normal human interaction is more detrimental to them than this virus, and I'm afraid the long-term effects could be devastating to this generation. People in our country are being denied health care or the ability to purchase groceries or get on a plane because of restrictions such as this getting out of control. Do you see where this is heading? Please wake up to the sinister nature of this never-ending narrative. Normalcy is now the carrot at the end of a stick that they keep tethered out in front of us, always chasing, never reaching, until we are finally soothed into compliance with whatever demands are placed with us, no matter how ridiculous. I'll end with a Bug's Life quote that is fitting to our time. Quote, "You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line."
Hopper. Thank you for your comment. Yes, the chair will now recognize those speakers. The chair will now recognize the next speaker.
Please state your name.
It's Lindsay Tharp.
You got this.
Stayed up late last night, just like
you got this.
Writing a 3-page, 4-page narrative, which only has 3 minutes. I gotta hustle.
Could you please speak into your mic?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so just like her, I did research. Masks, short-term, cause oxygen deprivation, increased CO2 inhalation. I have a child who complained of constant headaches last year.
Yeah.
Little did I know that you guys were allowing her to eat poison. I have a child who suffers from speech and reading disabilities. Little did I know masks, we're going to exacerbate that problem for her. So because you guys, I point to you, at the end of the day, you guys are the powers that be. You guys are allowing our children to suffer greatly for your ill-conceived and ill-placed decisions about my child. I can only speak for my child. There's hundreds of parents.
You're speaking for mine.
Lined out the door. I want to speak for theirs. This is just short-term effects. Long-term effects. You don't know the long-term effects of what oxygen deprivation does, what increased CO2 does. Even dentists are complaining about it. They're calling it meth mouth for kids who, and even adults who have just bacteria that's lining in their mouths just from this. And you don't even know that masks stop COVID, right? So you are making decisions for my child based on ill-conceived and unfounded research in the day. And what I don't want to happen is we started school last year, and a few days after school, bing, right? Oh, we're doing it full time now. So I didn't find out about this. There was no email about this. There was nothing that notified us. Thank goodness a mother texted me. I was in the mountains, coming down the hill, and get an email about this. So it's ridiculous that this was a kind of a backdoor meeting that you didn't want parents to come to. Because my only thought would be, you don't want this type of opposition to this type of stuff. My only choice shouldn't be that my child has to be homeschooled or virtual learning. Virtual learning is garbage. Homeschooling, I'm a full-time working parent. I just literally ran 2 blocks to even get here in time. It's ridiculous that that's my choice. If I don't like masks, I just have to keep them out of school. That's not a choice. On May 7th, the governor issued a directive that he has serious concerns that mandated vaccine passport program has the potential to politicize decisions. Masks shouldn't be the same political decision. Don't politicize this for my children. I implore you to fight the political narrative that takes away my choice as a parent to decide the best course of action for my children. I want my choice back. It's a harmful ideology that's currently plaguing America, and I won't allow for it anymore. I stood for it last year because I didn't have a choice. You guys kind of ripped that rug out after everyone had already started. We didn't have a choice. This year, I want my choice back. As a parent wants the master child.
Thank you for your comments. Child. The chair will now recognize
no
the next speaker.
Excuse me, point of order. We have specifically asked to be respectful and allow people to comment. You don't need to speak anything regarding when the speaker is speaking. You don't need to applause and you don't need to cheer. Let the individuals please state what they need to state. They've been given 3 minutes to do so. We're allowing that opportunity and we would ask that you please be respectful.
No applause.
Thank you.
No applause. Okay.
I'm pretty sure y'all know my name. It's Tiffany Weinbeck. I've been here a few times.
Please state your name for those that do not know you.
I did. Tiffany Weinbeck. I wanted to just address a couple of things. First, y'all inserted the Wyoming Constitution into your little handouts, which specifically states that I, as a parent, have all decisions over my child medically. It states that. You guys don't get that choice. We do. You are elected officials. You are not my kids' parents. My kid has asthma. I know what COVID can do to him. His asthma has tripled since he's been in school this last year. You are not taking all of these parents under advice, all of our concerns under advisement. You are doing exactly what you want. Why are we having this meeting? We're social distancing, but there's how many people out there? You called this meeting last minute so that you wouldn't have this, but you have this. The very choice that got all of y'all into these seats was freedom of choice. We chose to vote you in or not. You are taking that away from us. The thing that got you into those seats, you're taking that away from me. Making that choice for my children. For what? Money? Why are we only looking at the statistics of what the COVID, how many people died of COVID? Why aren't we looking at the suicide rates? Why aren't we looking about all of the medical things that are happening to our kids? The social dynamics. Why are we not looking at those studies? Why is it not posted how much money you guys are getting per student for COVID relief money? And where is that money going? That money's not going to protect our kids. Where is it going? Why can we not social distance in the hall, but we have to social distance in here? Why are no questions being answered? Why did you guys do this in the gymnasium where we could social distance, where 500 people could be in there? Why are you limiting our freedom of choice?
Thank you. Good job, Tiffany.
First of all, we do ask and respect to everyone's opinion. Let's hold our applause. Thank you very much. Please say your name.
Sarah Lagaki. I'm the mother of a first grader and an instructor at Sheridan College. I have a number of points. I'm just going to fly through them since I've got 3 minutes here. Number one, masks and COVID learning. I think we all know that. As a teacher, I cannot overstate the importance of reading a student's facial expression during instruction. We rely heavily on students' expressions to tell us if they are understanding the material, if they are confused, or if they have simply zoned out. While older students may be persuaded to ask more questions to address this stumbling block, I'm not sure that works very well with young children. With a shorter attention span to begin with, elementary students are more likely to just stop paying attention when they don't understand something. How much learning actually takes place in an elementary classroom when students are constantly fiddling with their masks? Masks are uncomfortable to wear for short periods of time. Quite simply, they are miserable to wear all day. Students will wear them because they have no choice. We have not given them the choice. When I would pick my daughter up from school every day last year, I asked her, "What did you learn today? What did the teacher talk about today?" My response, 3 days a week out of five, was masks. That was the first thing she said. That tells me how much time is being spent with teachers trying to get a kid to leave their mask on, as opposed to time that could be spent learning. Let's see. The discomfort of wearing a mask will no doubt serve as a distraction and impede their learning. Schools across the country serve breakfast to students because an empty stomach gets in the way of learning. I have no doubt that masks also get in the way of learning, particularly for our youngest children. Number two, the school's priority should be education. It is not your job to protect the rest of the community from an illness that 99% of people under the age of 70 survive. That one statistic should be drilled into our heads. 99% of people under the age of 70 survive. Right there, that tells us that we are making decisions out of fear. We are letting fear to overtake rational thinking. It is not your job to ensure that hospitalization rates in Sheridan County are low. Your job is to give my child the best education possible, and masks do inhibit a child's learning. Number three, we all know that the vast majority of children who get COVID are asymptomatic or have mild symptoms. Rates of pediatric hospitalization rates may be rising, but they are still incredibly low. Children who do contract COVID, and my children have had it, are left with a strong natural immunity. This illness is not a big danger to kids. Number four, masking is a parent's decision. Those who are worried about COVID can get the vaccine. And if they are unable to get the vaccine, then as a community, we should be trying to help them isolate, get groceries for them, take care of them so that they can avoid crowds. We should not be forcing children who are not in danger from this disease to wear a mask for 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, 7 months out of the year. And you all know that if you implement it now, they will be in masks until the spring. That will happen, and we all know it. I'm running out of time here. Let's see here. Let me end that. I realize that things change quickly when you're dealing with a pandemic. It's very disturbing to me that this meeting was called one day before school starts. And I do think, and I hate saying this, but it begs the question, when do you receive the funds for how many children are enrolled on the first day of school? Because I will tell you right now that if you
thank
pass
you
this,
your
I'm just pulling my
the
child
chair
out of
will now
today.
Recognize the next speaker.
I'm going to ask you to keep your pause and your shouts down, and actually not at all. We are allowed to ask you to leave, and we will. This is supposed to be a respectful chance for you to voice your opinions, and we are listening. So please respect that. Could you please identify yourself?
My name is Nancy Stevens. I urge you, listen to the voices outside of this room. I am here representing my children, not an agenda. No one else speaks for me, and I urge you, give the people the time and the courtesy to listen to what they have to say. I have been in this room 4 times asking you to unmask or keep our children unmasked in school. I'm done asking. No, no, we will not mask our children. No one has given the authority of the people in this room individual health decisions over our children. I have heard so many people in this room say it's because you care about our children. That's why you're doing it. Might I suggest that caring for our children does not look like taking individual health choices away from parents. Does anyone in this room know my daughter's name? Do you know what makes her happy or sad or struggle with anxiety or fear? Do you know where she is developmentally with her speech? You don't. I do. Never before have we covered the noses, mouths, and facial expressions of children for 8 hours a day. Your children and our children are the real-time data that supports this recommendation. Don't tell me you're following the science. Don't tell me you're looking at the data. The director, the former director of the CDC was asked August 9th, do you think the current CDC rule that all children should wear masks, do you think they're wrong on this issue? He responded, I'm saying I haven't been able to review the data that supports that recommendation. He said, these policies should be grounded in data as opposed to opinion. 18 months in, and the former director of the CDC says we have no data to support children wearing masks in the classroom. Don't show me the studies on the level of transmission with adults. Children are not tiny adults. They are different. Parents in this room, if you're listening, whether you're online, you're out in the hallway, I don't care where you are, you have a choice to make. And it's not going to be easy. It may not be what you want to do. It may be hard. It may take sacrifice, financial time, all of those things. My husband and I know our choice. If masks are enforced, we are done. We are removing all 3 of our children from the public school system. Do the benefits of masks and social distancing truly outweigh the long-term psychological, physical, social, and academic harm we're inflicting on it, on all these American school children? We're not going to wait around to find out the answer to that question. If you mask our kids, I encourage every parent in this room, you better make sure that they are following CDC recommendations. Every child should wash their hand before putting on a mask. Parents, demand it. Every child would be directly supervised to make sure they do not touch the mask while wearing it. Parents, demand it. Make sure that no child touches their eyes, nose, or mouth.
Thank you very much for your comments. The chair will now recognize the next speaker.
This is the last speaker. Good afternoon. My name is Brandon Titus, parent of 2 children here in Sheridan, and husband of a teacher. I'm here today to speak for the teachers, for their protection. The amount of students that they cross each day through the halls, through their classrooms, so numerous, it just puts them in a danger. Let's look at some of the school districts across the country right now. And in Florida, in Hillsborough County, 10,000 students out with quarantine. Nashville, Tennessee, 1,000 students out in quarantine. New Orleans, 3,000 students out in quarantine. And in Mississippi right now, 20,000 students in quarantine. If we all agree that children learn best in the classroom, how are we going to teach them in a classroom if they're all in quarantine repeatedly? When students go out for 2 weeks, they fall behind. Now a teacher has to catch each one of those students up individually. Now when each one of those students goes out for quarantine and a teacher is trying to catch all of these students up individually, how is that possible? Masks. It's been proven over and over again that they work. that CO2 is not a problem breathing in them? And how do we know? Because they did it last year. They were just fine with it during the course of the school season. Rates were low, teachers weren't out with quarantine, and neither were students. If you care about the teachers, please enforce the mask mandate and keep all of our teachers and students protected during the school year so that everyone can stay in school and learn the way they should. Thank you.
Do we have any other speakers in support of the masking?
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kendra. I have two kids.
Please speak loudly and speak into the mic. We can't hear you.
My name is Kendra. I have two children attending the school here in elementary school. I'm a nurse. Been in the healthcare system since 2008. I have my bachelor's degree. You asked for speak with mask. I'm lying to you. Like, you lied to me about protecting my children, because you have not. Masking does not protect our children. Studies have been shown, I actually have one right here from the EPA, that the reason we did not see the curve flag was because the mask only prevent you from getting COVID less than 10%. My daughter, she's 5. She was 4 when all this started. I was an ER nurse down in China. I quit my job the last I came here. Selective mutism because of your mask, that's what you did to my child. She was separated from me for 8 weeks. Never been separated from me. I worked through halfway through my pregnancy in the ER. In December, I birthed a healthy baby boy. Explain how that, when my PPE was actually taken away from me in Cheyenne in the ER. I went from having a PAPR to an N95 to a surgical face mask to a cloth face mask, which have been shown to prevent COVID by less than 30%. A surgical face mask actually is about 26%. Not going to speak to statistics because people have already covered that, but that's my child. I have another child who has long-term respiratory effects from an illness she got when she was a baby. She's healthy. She hasn't been sick. We haven't masked our children at home or in public. We don't. You can't prevent your children from being exposed to these things because it suppresses their immunity, and then thus when they get sick, then that's crippling to them. They need to be, they have this exposure. They need this. I'm going to read April to October 2020. ER visits were linked to mental health. For ages 5 to 11, the ER visits for anxiety increased by 25%. School age children 12 to 17 increased by 31%. Actually, your mask, 20 minutes or 23 minutes into this meeting, you've been breathing hot, moist air into your mask for 23 minutes, and now it's a perfect breathing ground for bacteria and fungus. So now you're now breathing all of that back into your lungs, which causes more sickness. COVID, 0.05% fatality rate. Why are we in fear masking our children? I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to take a stand. My child will show up at school without a mask.
Yes.
If you have to mask my child, they will be educated to scream at you and call
30
mom.
30 seconds.
So you can 30 seconds, that's fine. I'm done. My children will show up to your school unmasked, and you will not mask them. That's a violation of my parental rights to my children. Thank you.
This time I would ask for any more. I would ask for anyone that would like to speak in support of the masking. Yes, ma'am. Please identify yourself.
My name is Catherine Johnson. I work in the school with your children. And last year, during the mask mandate, we did not have near the clothes that we had before. It was amazing. I understand everybody feels they have a right. It's also a public school. If you don't follow by what these folks are telling us, then you can homeschool your kids. The worst thing that's gonna happen is we're gonna go into this and then the kids are gonna get sent home. Parents don't get to go to work, businesses shut down. That's not gonna work in this community. I don't know all the science and all the facts and everything. I know from my heart that I believe we have an amazing school district, amazing superintendent, school board members. We need to listen to them and listen to our doctors and just just be safe.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak in support of your masking? Seeing no one else. Sorry, did not see you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pierce Berman. I'm 14. I'm an eighth grade at the Sarah Junior High School. I'm here because masks, sorry, I'm a little nervous. Last year I got quarantined because of the mask mandate drop, and my track season ended. I couldn't run. This season, cross country started. I was so excited to start the new season running. It's my favorite sport. But 2 days ago, I found out that my own weird thing, it has inflammation of the heart. So I'm out for my favorite sport, my main sport, cross country season, because the mask mandate dropped. I was unable to wear my, I was unable to compete in track. Now I'm unable to be in cross country in gym class. And I have a good friend who has two younger siblings but that can't get vaccinated, so she's so she has to wear a mask. So I'm sorry, I'm really starting nervous.
That's okay.
Her younger siblings are like 7 and 5. They're unable to get vaccinated, so she does not feel safe at school to wear a mask. Ha, cool. That's all. Sorry. Sorry.
Your time's not up if you have more to say.
That's all. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
You did good.
Anyone that I missed? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and proceed into old business.
Oops. You're not. Closing comments? Yeah. Have you got more? Anybody in the hall want to comment?
There's been 3 more speakers that are pro-maskers.
Hello, my name is Mike Sanderson. I'm a pediatrician over at Northeast Wyoming Pediatric Associates. Happy to be invited to the meeting today. Happy to hear all the comments and value all that has been said. There's a few things that I just, you know, we stood before this board about a year ago to talk about the same issue, and there were some concerns in regards to the risks that might rise up for children who were asked to wear masks on a regular basis. I just wanted to say that from a data standpoint, from your pediatrician standpoint, there is no risk to wearing a mask when it comes to oxygen deprivation or hypercapnia. There have been no good studies that have demonstrated that that is a significant risk. And there have been studies that have shown that it is not a risk. There are certainly skin conditions that can arise from that. Those can be very, most of the time we can deal with those. When it comes to risk mitigation, you know, we can go through the data. There seems to be lots of data and studies that I have not heard of that demonstrate that masks are not effective. The CDC has plenty of information and data on this, and masks are quite effective at preventing the spread of COVID-19. The last thing I just wanted to say is I think we witnessed this last year. And from our clinic standpoint, we witness it as well, as far as what I would call collateral viral infections. So, when masks were, a mask wearing requirement was up in school, we saw extremely low rates of COVID. When children did sustain COVID infections, those infections were not being transmitted to their peers. When mask wearing was being adhered to properly, and other social distancing and hand washing precautions were also being adhered to. As soon as those mask wearing requirements came off, we saw surges of COVID in the spring. We saw a very odd surge in influenza at the time as well, which is just, to me, not necessarily COVID relevant, but just relevant to the fact that masks work in preventing the spread of respiratory droplet spread viruses. And we've had a surge of RSV currently amongst our pediatric population. That it's a very odd time of year for that. We really don't see summertime surges of RSV. Usually, almost exclusively, those are from November to March, and I have almost no doubt that's because there are not currently mask wearing requirements. I am in support of mask wearing in the schools. I do recognize the burden that this places on students. I do recognize the burden that this places on families. I feel like if masswearing is approached in a very positive way, most students can do this without too much of an issue. I don't know every standpoint, and I don't know every situation, but from the standpoint of preventing the spread of COVID in our community to keep our community members safe, I do support that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The chair will now recognize any other speakers that are. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Parker Cardi. I'm
13. Could you please speak into the mic? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Parker Cardi. I'm 13 years old and I'm going into eighth grade. I take the stance that mask wearing should be required this year or until all ages can be vaccinated. Me and along with many others my age have younger siblings who cannot yet get vaccinated. Knowing this, it is extremely worrying to think about my younger sister who has had heart complications in the past getting COVID. I should not have to go to school and not feel safe just because other people don't have their masks. Yes, I understand that it is your right to choose, but it is also our right to feel safe. Up until all ages are able to get vaccinated, I truly believe that we should be wearing masks at school. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have one more comment in support of masks?
To clarify, we limited six comments per viewpoint. So we've had six on one side. We're going to listen to six viewpoints on the other side, just to be clear.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Board. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk today. As little as 2 weeks ago, I made a recommendation that I didn't think we needed kids to wear masks. Last spring, things were really good, and I asked that we take the masks off of kids, and I think we successfully did that in the school year last year. I hate these things. I'm so sick of wearing them. But unfortunately, that's really not an option, I think. Currently, at Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we are over capacity. We do not have ICU beds. There are no ICU beds in any of the facilities in the surrounding states. I am unable to transfer patients that need care in other states. I had a dialysis patient that I needed to transfer. Normally that would take 30 minutes. It took 2.5 days. I thought the guy was going to die because he needed dialysis. Normally that would be simple, easy to take care of. This time is different now, and it's accelerated rapidly. July 31st, we had 10 active cases in town. We're over 200. This Delta variant is much more contagious. It seems to be causing more severe disease. And the hospitals in our region are not doing well. Wyoming Medical Center is regularly getting requests for transfer for patients from Texas, Oklahoma. That's not our fault. This is Wyoming. We're Sheridan. We stand up and we should do the right thing for our people. Unfortunately, this is one of those times where the cost of leadership is very difficult. This is not going to be a popular decision. I don't want to be up here. I don't want to be talking about COVID and how we need to wear masks. But as a hospital physician taking care of these people, taking care of people with non-COVID illnesses that I can't treat right now because we don't have availability, please consider asking the kids to wear masks. Thank you.
How many kids are in the hospital beds?
Please.
It's not the burden of my child to carry for adults.
We will adjourn the meeting if we need to.
Yeah.
With all respect for one another's opinions.
With an honest question, how many are children? Valid question.
On the website, it doesn't say anything about having only six people speak, and I'd like to speak about my daughter, if I could please.
And I'm sorry, we actually do not have to allow anyone to speak.
Okay, I just wanted to ask. Because it just doesn't say anything on your website about only having six. So
thank you.
That's not restricted.
Moving on to our discussion of old business and the public plan, Mr. Stokes.
Yes, Madam Chair, Board of Trustees. Thank you all for your comments. They have been listened to, and we sincerely understand the points that you have made. We take very, very seriously the decisions that we are choosing to make based on what is providing a safe learning environment for our staff and our students. As you know, in March of 2020, we made a decision to go to remote learning based solely on the medical scientific facts of where things were based on the COVID epidemic in our county. Then we chose last August to also begin the school year with masks, based again specifically on our public health officials and what was safest and best for our staff and our students. It was also determined in December that we would no longer contact trace because the masks were affected. We saw a significant reduce in the number of COVID cases and the number of students that needed to be quarantined. In April, we also chose, again, based on medical facts, information from our public health officials, we chose to make masks optional. And we finished the year without masks. And as Dr. Hunter, our public health official, shared with all of you, 2 weeks ago, we shared with you that masks went from optional to strongly recommended. And based on the end of this week, where the COVID cases are, and based on Dr. Hunter's medical expertise, we are now having this meeting. Yes, I understand this last minute, and it is absolutely unequivocal, not under the guise of anything, other than the fact that we have recent current information that every decision we've made regarding COVID is medically and scientifically based. Our expertise is not in the medical field. Our expertise is in educating children, and that's our job. And our job and my job and my recommendation needs to be based on where we can place our students and our staff in the safest learning conditions possible and keep our schools open. We were fortunate last year to have all 175 days with our kids in school. We know the safest place for our kids, the best learning environment for our students is where? In the classroom. It's not remote. We found that out in March of 2020. Those 3 months were not preferred. You as parents and our students, that was not the best learning environment for them. And we did the best we could. It was far from ideal. And once again, my focus and my efforts have to be placed on what is best and what is safest for our staff and our students. And based on the medical facts that we have and the information that we have, I will not deviate from how those decisions have continued to be made. And Dr. Hunter clearly articulated why he is making the recommendation that he is. It's based on medical facts. It's based on the current status of our county, which is all in red. It started the summer in light green. It moved to yellow. Then it moved to orange. And now it is in red, which is the second highest level it could absolutely be, short of dark red. We are in a situation where we have major concerns with the COVID cases, which in fact will result in the number of quarantines that our students are going to have to do. When we choose to put masks in place, we are absolutely reducing the number of students or staff that have to be quarantined. The only individuals in this case that would be quarantined is a test positive case. No one else is required to be quarantined. That is putting our position where our staff and our students can stay in school, and they can be in physical contact with our teachers for 175 days. Are masks inconvenient? Absolutely. No one likes to wear them. I don't like to wear them. But we're doing it for one reason only. We're doing it because it's best and it's safest for our staff and our students. And as a result of the information that I have, I am recommending the following COVID-19 plan. Please understand that this plan is developed in collaboration with the Sheridan County health officials and aligns with the guidance with the Wyoming Department of Health. The COVID-19 plan will be reevaluated every 2 weeks. Please know this is not in perpetuity. Again, it's based on medical fact. It's based on scientific information. We will reevaluate every 2 weeks. And it was proven last year in April, we dropped the mask mandate because medical facts simply stated our kids were safe during that time because the cases had dropped. And we were in an environment to provide us still a learning opportunity without our students wearing masks. We'll be reevaluated every 2 weeks based on the current realities in Sheridan County and the guidance from our local health officials. The plan is subject to modification by the superintendent or designee if or when necessary due to the changing circumstances. Masks will be required in school district buildings. Masks are also required on route buses that transport students to and from school. Masks are not required outdoors while eating or drinking, during teacher-approved mask breaks, or during extreme physical exertion. Staff members are not required to wear masks when alone in their office or in their classrooms. Positive cases. The district will adhere to the guidelines from the state and local health officials for quarantines and isolation. Individuals who test positive for COVID-19 must isolate until the following three things are true. One, there is no fever for at least 24 hours without the help of fever reducers. Two, other symptoms have improved since they first began. And three, at least 10 days have passed since symptoms first began. Quarantine isolation. Individuals who are identified as close contacts with positive cases must isolate for 10 days without testing or 7 days total after receiving a negative test that results that occurs on day 5 or later. In cases where both individuals are masked, no quarantine is required. On a case-by-case basis, essential staff members who are close contacts with a positive case may be allowed to continue working while maintaining social distance and wearing a mask. Home screening. All staff and students must self-screen for COVID-19 symptoms every day using this protocol before coming to school. Symptoms. Any staff member or student who is experiencing COVID symptoms that are outside of their normal symptoms should stay home. Remote learning. Students who test positive for COVID-19 and who are quarantined as a close contact will be provided with remote learning opportunities by day 3 of their absence. Contact your school counselor for more information. Vaccines. Individuals who are fully vaccinated for COVID-19 are not required for quarantine if exposed to a positive case. Vaccines are available for individuals age 12 and over at multiple sites across the community. Testing. All individuals who are exposed to a COVID-19 positive case, whether masked, vaccinated or not, are strongly encouraged to be tested for COVID-19 5 days after exposure. Tests for COVID-19 are available through multiple providers. To determine when an individual may return to work or school, the CSD will only accept results from the established testing facility. The district will not accept results from cell phone tests. Return to play. The district will adhere to this return to play protocol for our students athletes. This is specific to our junior high and high school who test positive for COVID-19. Visitors and events. Visitors are currently welcomed at our schools and events with masks required in school district buildings. Visitors will be expected to follow all safety guidelines and protocols by the schools. And just to reinforce, any outside activities or events do not require masks. Mask exception. Mask exceptions may be granted by the superintendent based on the following reasons. Individuals with a medical condition or disability. In situations involving individuals who are deaf or hard of hearing, or individuals communicating with those who are deaf or hard of hearing. Individuals who have an individualized education plan, an IEP, that would necessitate exempting the individual from wearing a face covering. Madam Chair, that is my recommendation based on the information that I have provided for you.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Can I have a motion to approve the COVID-19 plan update as presented? So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Give us our parental rights back.
My choice.
That's not political.
Please.
Topic.
cannot listen to the board members. We will adjourn this meeting until a later time.
When the weekend is run, you guys don't let us talk. You give us 3 minutes.
Let's adjourn the meeting, please.
We will adjourn this meeting at all at this time. And
let's have a work meeting next time.
You insult parents in this town. Shame on you. Every single one of you.
You need to leave the building.
I am. Sure
we are.
So,
can we get everybody
on? Don't get any. Politicians, including school board members, need to obviously be reminded of who works for whom. They work for us. They are our representatives on these respective boards, and their duty is to represent our best interests. And when they stray into making medical decisions for us, our children, and largely our families, they need to be reminded who is actually in charge. And I guarantee you, it's not them. Cowboy State Politics will continue to follow this story as well as other stories across the state. No doubt this is going to be a topic we'll be dealing with for some time. Have a good night, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.